welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with Taylor Swift's big announcement. We're doing some Valentine's Day streaming recommendations. Get ready for that. And we're doing cringe mode to All the Boys I've Loved Before 3.
A really good episode. Love is in the air, people. Valentine's Day is approaching. Follow us on Twitter, please, at teatime_33. And on Instagram, we're at teatimepod. All right, before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Okay, before we get into all the mushy-gushy stuff, Tea Time is checking in with A, not worth the tea, and B, this week in social media. I'll go first. Obviously, the big news of the morning, we're recording this on Thursday, is Taylor Swift's appearance on Good Morning America today. She announced that she is dropping a new rendition of Love Story at midnight tonight. And she also said that she has finished recording or re-recording Fearless, and it'll be coming out soon, which is like made big waves. So she didn't give an exact date, but she did get Good Morning America a look at the album cover and then like released this statement on Twitter that in very Taylor Swift fashion, Kate, I know you have thoughts, is like very long and of course has capitalized random letters. And if you put it all together, if you put all the capital letters together, it says April 9th. So everyone's like, oh my God, she's dropping the new Fearless on April 9th. Guys, how do you feel?
First of all, April 9th just seems like forever away. Like after two, like Folklore and Evermore, like 24 hour, you have 3 hours to emotionally prepare for this drops in a row. I'm like, April 9th, like I might be dead by then. Who knows? Will the world still be happening? Like at this point, we don't know. So first of all, it's just like too far away. I'm like, tell us in a couple months. This is too much anticipation for April 9th. Other than that, just love that she's kind of taken this back into her own hands. I think everyone's like firmly Taylor these days after like the big success of like her last two albums. She's like finally doing things for herself, like caring less about what people think. And I also like that she's doing those six new songs, but like they're not new to like capitalize on everything. They're like songs that she really wanted to put out when she was a teenager, like when she made this album, and just like they weren't radio friendly or they weren't like, you know, approved by the powers that be. And now she's just like, I can do what I want. So I'm going to give you these songs I wrote when I was 15, which is great. Like, that's exactly what we want from her. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's too far away.
I agree. Amelia, how do you feel?
Yeah, honestly, I'm sorry. I'm one of the few people who's like, I can't do this Folklore and Evermore. Like, that's just... It's we're in a pandemic. This is depressing. I don't need more depressing stuff. And fair. I stan so hard for her older albums, like her country pop. And like Fearless is country pop. And I'm just like, yes. Like it's just, oh, it's Fearless, a real,
yeah. It's like fantastic
album. Fantastic album.
Oh, it's incredible. Oh. It's also the most awarded country album of all time. This
really?
Was like her first Grammy where she won for album of the year. Like, this is an iconic album. This will raise both me and your spirits, Amelia. You're yes. like, get us back on track with Taylor Swift.
I'm also like, not to admit that I'll still be living with my parents in April, but I probably still will be. I'm not prepared to like sit in my childhood bedroom and like listen Aww. To Fearless again.
Wow. know?
Like, so that's true. Really going to be like, like just some real nostalgia that like maybe I'm not prepared for emotionally. So I'll work on that until April.
Okay. So I guess we'll check back in. I guess we'll see what Love Story is like tonight. And then we'll check back in April when more stuff comes out. Okay.
Can't wait.
Next, this is really not worth the tea, but I got to address it because Kim Kardashian and Northwest was in the news this week because essentially Kim posted on Instagram story. She said, "My little artist," and it was a painting that North had done. And at first glance, it looks like a professional painting. It's like really well done. Of course, everyone is like, that looks like a Bob Ross painting. That looks way too good because North is 7 years old. And so like that could have just been the story. But Kim decides to get really, really mad about this, about everyone questioning her daughter's artistic skills. So she posted again and was like, "Don't play with me when it comes to my children. My daughter and my best friend, her best friend, have been taking serious oil painting classes." Yada, yada, yada. Gets like really fiery about it. We're like, okay, that also could have been the story. And then this third layer came out. Thank you to Kate who pointed this out. This woman on TikTok, her name is Cameron Fred, and her mom is apparently the painting teacher that has taught Northwest and many other children in the greater Los Angeles area how to do these like oil paintings that look really amazing, which is just so interesting that all like social media is insane. And the fact that we actually got some truth to this, she like posted a bunch of other photos of like other young children that mm-hmm. look like this. And this has really just made me realize like, A, Kim should just have said that. Like,
right.
Like it was just a teacher that like is very specifically designed to make the painting look like that. And maybe also Northwest's artistic skills had some hand in it, but like seemed like it was the teacher, you know, like, you know,
right.
Mostly it was,
there's like a clear template and yes. she can teach the certain way and it always yes. turns out really nice. And it's just
exactly.
like, you know, I feel like Kim always does this little deceptive thing to make her kids seem a lot more like savants or something than they really are. And it's
right.
like, cause she wasn't, I don't think she, like the lady said, like you said, it wasn't a lie because it seems like North really right. did paint it, but there's more to the story and she's not right. giving us a clear picture. And it's just like, okay.
Right. It's not like North was in like the Colorado countryside
right.
and was like,
yeah.
bring me
yeah,
my easel.
I
must capture these mountains.
Exactly.
yeah. yeah. And then my only last thought on this, because we shouldn't spend too much time, is just like whoever this woman is needs to be at every like wine and paint class that is across the country. Because I don't know if you have participated or a friend, if you see the paintings that come out of those classes, it's like pretty bleak. So she could just relay those skills to the mm-hmm. masses, that would be much appreciated.
Start a YouTube channel or something.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. What's next?
Okay. Thank you for whoever put this in here. Ashley Benson and G-Eazy broke up. Who will be his next victim? I love that. Great.
The dating adventures of G-Eazy. We just can't get enough.
We really can't. So they broke up. They were first linked back in May of 2020. And apparently, according to this Us Weekly article, it didn't end on a good note. Apparently, they fell hard. Everything moved very quickly. They were obsessed with each other. Recently, things took a hard turn for the worst, the insider tells us of the pair. So,
I mean, that seems
yikes.
To be classic for G-Eazy.
It does.
He has such range in his yeah. romantic relationships. First, he treated Halsey like shit. Mm. Then he was licking Megan Thee Stallion's face a year ago. He dated that Bachelorette contestant, the one that was like the broadcast
oh, yeah. Sarah.
Broadcaster.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then Ashley Benson, formerly Cara Delevingne's girlfriend. So like, it seems like he could strike anywhere. Like everyone mm-hmm. needs to be on your guard because G-Eazy could just pop up in your backyard and it's like, whoa.
Kind of insane how we manage to talk about him week after week. I guess we will continue to do so depending
He's
on
our new
who
Pete Davidson.
Oh, God. Okay. Next one.
This is extremely not worth the tea. It was announced this week that the CW has ordered a pilot for the Powerpuff Girls live action series. First of all, just like don't need it in general. But really don't need this description, which is the series follows the trio as disillusioned 20-somethings who resent having lost their childhood to crime fighting. I just don't need
some
like,
things
why?
Don't need an adult adaptation.
They just don't. Correct. We just like the Netflix just did like the Winx Club or something where they like made everyone boring. I'm just, why do we do this? Why does everything have to be gritty and sad? It can just be a cartoon.
I know,
Amelia, you have something to add here.
Yeah. I mean, on that note, I guess Mindy Kaling is going to do another adult adaptation. And this time it's going to be focused on Velma of Scooby-Doo, which, you know what? I mean, I feel like this is more understandable than the Powerpuff Girls who are literally like in preschool. At least Velma is a grown-ass woman. And like, I could see her story being kind of interesting. So I don't know. What is everyone?
Like, everyone knows Velma. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
And whereas the Powerpuff Girls, that came out in like the late 90s. Mm-hmm. It ended in 2005. Like, who's going to see this? Are we the audience for this adult Powerpuff Girls revival? I guess we
might
are.
Be. Yeah.
Because they mean Gen Z has never seen the Powerpuff Girls. They're too young.
Well, and also the animation of the Powerpuff Girls is so specific and like cutesy. Yeah. And there's something just very juvenile about it that just seems weird to try to adapt this into something that's dramatic. Yeah. And I
just
don't
need it. We just don't.
Agree. Really don't.
All right. To wrap up this not worth the tea category, I'm conflicted about this, you guys. I need you to just talk some sense into me because a couple weeks ago, Rebecca Black, who has been laying low for the last 10 years.
Sure.
You know, she's been on Instagram. She's, you know, a lot of our coworkers love her Instagram, as we talked about on this podcast before. But like pretty chill. She could have been a lot worse, in my opinion. She could have gone like full influencer. She still has her own nose. Like, that's all I ask, you know? Yeah. So a few weeks ago, she made her musical comeback and she released a song called Girlfriend. And it's all about getting back together with her girlfriend. And I was like, no choice but to stan. Like, it's pretty catchy. It's given me like Call Me Maybe vibes. Ooh. It's like fun. You know, she's just doing her. It's still kind of low budget, which I found kind of charming. And I was like, am I going to stan Rebecca Black? Like, am I in on Rebecca Black's music career? And then this week on Wednesday, she released the remix of Friday for the 10-year anniversary of her classic song Friday. First of all, I don't care if it's 10 years to the second. You have to release it on a Friday. You cannot release a song on a Wednesday. You just can't.
That's so true.
But she did, which was her first mistake, in my opinion. But it's like this really, it sounds like the Chipmunks are singing it. Like, it's gotten like really like high and squeaky because it's like a remix. It's featuring 303, Big Freedia, and Dorian Electra.
Wow.
And it's a remix. She's like going around in like a futuristic car. I think it's like a little bit self-aware. She has all these like old memes from 10 years ago, like in the backseat with her. But yeah, I just don't know. I heard it and I was like, no, it brought back so much trauma from 10 years ago, hearing the song everywhere. And I just am conflicted. I want to like her. I actually genuinely do. And she actually, the one thing that she really did right in releasing this remix is that she turned off the comments on YouTube.
Oh, good for her.
I was like, you've learned something in the past 10 years. And that's an important lesson. Yeah. So I'm proud of you. But yeah, I'm mixed on Rebecca Black.
In general, I feel like it's good that she's like reclaiming the narrative because it really went away, got away from her for a very long time. And I do feel really bad. She was so young at the time. Her whole teen years were like plagued by the song. So yes, I'm in favor of her like, you know, taking that back, having ownership of it, making it, you know, her own again.
Yeah.
Do I need that song again in my life? Perhaps not. But I am in general in favor of her taking back the song that like really spiraled out of control.
Yeah.
I guess.
Rooting for her in theory, I think, is where I've landed. I follow her on TikTok. That's as far as I'm willing to go.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Let's move on to the next category. This is Tea Time's Valentine's Day streaming recommendations. We got something for everybody and every situation. Kate, start us off.
All right. This first recommendation is just for people who love classic romance, just want to really get in their feelings on this Valentine's Day weekend. Brandy's Cinderella, the 1997 TV movie musical with Whitney Houston, is on Disney Plus as of this Friday. And it's just a classic. Twitter absolutely freaked out when this was announced. It really hasn't been available to watch on streaming services until now. And it's just great. It's the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical version, which has great songs and like a great song. And then you add Whitney Houston and it's like better than great. So like, what more do you want?
So true.
But yeah, I think we should cringe mode this at some point. Thoughts?
Yeah, fully agree. This is so a great movie. It's so fun.
So many great people in it. Come
yes,
on.
Agreed.
It's a classic. It's really good.
Yeah, it's good. It's like whimsical. It's not, yeah, if you just want to be swept away on Valentine's Day, you just turn that on. Yeah.
Yep, agreed.
What else?
A recommendation for people living with your parents. This isn't Valentine's Day related, but you know, all types of love are celebrated. I'm living with my parents. That's the only human interaction I'll have this weekend. So for those of you like me, I recommend you watch The Repair Shop on Netflix. This was recommended to me by my boss. And it's like people come in. It's a British show. It's like on BBC. And bring in things that are broken, like clocks, pottery, paintings that have been in their family for a long time. And this group of like experts, British experts, they fix it. And then they give it back to the person and everyone's happy. And it's the most chill. It's like Antique Roadshow meets the Great British Bake Off. Everyone is very charming. They have like, by the end of the show, you'll be like, oh my God, the clock guy, I fucking love him. Or like, hell yeah, pottery woman rooting for you every time. The woman who does chairs is really great. She reupholsters chairs. Love her.
Wow.
So yeah, just very pure, like extremely low stakes viewing.
Yeah, that sounds like great.
Great stuff.
If you're like me and gonna celebrate Valentine's Day with both your significant other and your parents because you're all living under the same roof, I would recommend Perfect Planet on Discovery Plus. We have started watching that as a group. David Attenborough never misses. And like this kind of shit just never misses. And this one's no different. It's 5 episodes, are all an hour long. They covered the sun, the weather, human. It's like just a classic.
I love that.
You just, you know what you're going to get. And yet the entire videography of it and just like what they capture is so mind blowing every time.
So interesting.
Yeah. Family
It's a crowd pleaser.
Good stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for people, again, like me, who basically have not touched another human in a year, Pushing Daisies is on HBO Max, one of my favorite shows of all time. It stars Lee Pace, love of my life. And he plays, it sounds very weird, but it's very whimsical. He plays this guy who, when he touches dead people, can bring them back to life. But then when he touches them again, they're dead again. So he like uses this to solve mysteries. But the point of this is that the love of his life dies. He touches her, brings her back to life, but then he can never touch her again. It's a show for our times. They come up with just very creative solutions. Lots of like glass panes in between them. Lots of plastic coverings. Very COVID friendly. So highly recommend.
I like that.
No better time.
That's great. Well, on the just total end of the spectrum, other end, guess it's really, you know, the opposite of love. For people who love true crime, though, if you like murder, maybe, or not like it, but you find it interesting, I would say, one, the Night Stalker series is out on Netflix, and it's really creepy. I watch a lot of true crime stuff, but this one really like shook me to the core. It's really, it's really scary. Yeah, this guy is insane. So that's scary if you're into that. And also, it was recently released, but Crime Scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel is on Netflix. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the story of Elisa Lam, but it's like this weird, it's not even supernatural, but I can't even, it's all these weird occurrences happened at the Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles. And actually one of them involves like the Night Stalker guy who Richard Ramirez, but, and this woman is found dead in a water tower there. And it's just, it's really
shit.
Creepy. Yeah. It's really creepy.
I know about that story. Oh my
and
God.
Yes. With like the video of the elevator and she's in the elevator and she's acting like very strange. Yeah, it's very creepy, but it's very interesting.
Damn.
So if Valentine's Day makes you feel murderous.
Right.
And like you want to kill people. I can relate to that.
Okay.
Then this is perfect. Thank you.
Anytime. Yes. Okay. And then also, this is for people who love to be in the loop. I would say Framing Britney Spears, which is the New York Times and FX's new series where they cover like an incident or a movement every episode. And they do one on Britney Spears and the Free Britney movement. And it's really interesting. It's a really interesting, I wish it were longer. It was a really interesting mm-hmm. look at how her conservatorship came to be and what it is and what the Free Britney movement is. And it's just, it's a really interesting look into all of that. And I feel like mm-hmm. I learned a lot. And it also is kind of shocking how we used to treat, like, and I guess how we still treat young women in the media and stuff. And so mm-hmm. I highly recommend that one as well.
Yeah. You guys did a TV concierge episode about it, right?
Like yes. In depth, you and Amanda? Amanda and I, yeah. Yeah. And it was really interesting.
Yeah, I watched this last night on your recommendation, and it was fascinating. And I completely agree. I think there is so much stuff that I would have liked to know more about. And like, I could have watched hours and hours and hours of it.
Me too.
But it's really fascinating. And it's a great, yeah, it's a great watch. And then lastly, wrapping up the streaming recs on Valentine's Day. For those of you who maybe have like a significant other with a long job, long hours, or maybe a long distance relationship, someone who has a lot of time on their hands, I would recommend diving into Love Island. And I know I've recommended this before, but I had to also because it's Valentine's Day. All the people, the gist of it is you eventually fall in love. But you need a lot of time on your hands. I'm talking about the UK version. There's six seasons. And almost each season has like close to 50 episodes.
Oh,
and they're all like
God.
45 full minutes long.
And that is so long.
It's really long, really big time commitment. And I'm embarrassed to say that I've almost watched every season. So like, I can't even calculate how many hours of my life wasted. So watch that. Or, and this is a complete shout out to Amelia. I also probably owe her, we all owe her a public apology for like taking months to start watching Survivor. But me and Kaya we're like fully in it. You also need a lot of time. There's like fucking 40 seasons. But that it's good to like, you know, catch up, talk with people about different contestants. It's so much better and more entertaining than The Bachelor. And it's fun to discuss. So like you got to talk to someone as you go through.
There are a lot of elements to it.
What I love about this is that they were like, Kate, you watch The Bachelor with us this season, so then you'll know what we're talking about and you can be part of these discussions that you missed out on. And I was like, great, I can't wait to be part of this narrative. And then now you're like, actually, fuck The Bachelor. We're Survivor fans now. Like, great, awesome.
Oh my God, that's so true. You're right.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool. No, it's fine.
Gotta keep
it's
up, fine. Kate. We're like constantly evolving.
Whatever.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Okay, let's do the next category. This is cringe mode to all the boys I loved before, the third installment. This is the best day of my life. I love this movie. We love this series in general. Third and final movie out on Netflix just in time for Valentine's Day. Who wants to take the plot?
I can do it. Guys, these movies, it feels like, are just like an intrinsic part of Tea Time. The first podcast I ever did at The Ringer was to talk about this Noah Centineo guy.
Wow.
We then started Tea Time shortly after. We watched all of these movies, talked about them. It feels like the end of a journey for us.
It does.
Oh my God.
So to all the boys I've loved before, always and forever, bit of a mouthful. This is the third movie, obviously, in the saga of Lara Jean Covey and her love for Peter Kavinsky, their high school romance. A lot of like big rom-com hits in this movie. We start out with like spring break trip to Korea. Then she comes back and then it's like senior trip to New York. And then it's like prom, and then it's like wedding. It's like all the big things that can happen in a movie. Basically, the big thing is that Lara Jean doesn't get into Stanford. Peter does somehow. We're going to talk about that. And she just has to decide if she's going to go to Berkeley, which is really close to Stanford, or her heart, when she goes on this trip, is like tugging her towards New York City and NYU. Mm-hmm. So she decides to go to NYU. She breaks up with Peter because it's too difficult to make it work long distance. They end up together. Her dad marries the woman next door. Am I missing anything? I think that's it.
I think that's pretty much it.
That's it, yeah.
Great stuff. Yeah. It was a good movie. I was pleasantly surprised by this. I was a little worried after the second one, but they really rallied.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Let's do some highlights. On that note, Kate?
On that note, my first highlight is that I genuinely love these movies. The vibes, the colors.
Yeah.
Lana Condor, I would die for. I just think they're great. I just enjoy watching them. Every single one. Even the second one.
I agree. And I also just want to say that I think that besides the second one being slightly worse than the others, they kept the like identity and the world in which Jenny Han has created consistent throughout the three movies, which is kind of difficult to do three times. I just think there's a through line that is just so unique and is so present in each of these movies. It's just fucking great. As you sit down and watch it and you immerse yourself in this world, I feel like I'm talking about like something much more intense than I am. This is like a teenage book. But regardless, I loved it. And I love the identity and the world of all three of these movies.
Definitely.
And credit to Susan Johnson, who was the director of the first one, for creating like this visual identity. Mm-hmm. Because they took the movies from her after the first one and gave it to a man, which
Rude.
Sucks. But he obviously like stayed very faithful to like the visual themes and like her sort of vision for where they went. So like, again, like, please let her direct all of them. They probably would have been better. But I mean, it's very much like true to what she kind of set in the first movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agreed. There's a scene in the beginning when they're on their spring break. They go to Seoul Tower and Namsan Tower. It's like these, all the locks on the bridge, like love locks. And the family went to go find the lock that the dad and their mom, who had passed away, did way back when they visited. They find it. It's like Eve plus Dan. It's old and crusty. And on the back, it says, "For the rest of my life." And then all the girls take their new lock. They put their initials and they say, "For the rest of our lives." And they connect it on this bridge. And I just like thinking about it makes me so emotional. I'm not sure why. Yeah. It's just that's the only time I really got like, that's the most emotionally invested I was the whole time. But really, really good heartwarming scene.
Definitely.
Anyway,
very cute.
Let me dry my tears. What else?
I'm a sucker for a prom storyline. I say this all the time. We watch a lot of prom movies, but it just gets me every time. I want to see the promposals. I want the prom drama. I want to see them picking out the dress. I want to see them taking pictures and coming down the stairs and talking to each other at prom and everyone dancing. And like, it's great. I just love it every time. It never misses.
Great. Also, in general, I know you two have more specific notes on this, but blanket statement, they get the soundtrack of these movies so right, and this is no different. They're releasing the full soundtrack the same day as the movie comes out, so it's like not online anywhere, and I tried to Google what I could. But just in general, I find it very unique, the choices that they made, and like not your average teen rom-com. I think about like movies like Booksmart and other things like that, where they just pick like top 40 pop, like American pop music. It's kind of easy. And I just find this specific soundtrack really, really great.
Yeah.
And shout out to Oasis for becoming relevant again in this movie. Really good for them.
I really appreciated her drag where he was like, do you ever listen to Oasis? She's like, not on purpose.
Seriously.
Like, same. On that note, going in line with my flawless taste, I love these movies' dedication to K-pop songs, especially K-pop girl groups, which is how you know that like they really have taste. Like, they're not just like BTS everything. This movie starts out with G by Girls' Generation, which is just like a building block of K-pop. They start out in Korea, obviously, which is why they're playing that. But then they also play Cherry Bullet and Blackpink. And I'm just like, whoever is in charge, we're just on the same wavelength. I just love it.
I love that.
I love it.
I love that you love that.
Thank you.
I also like the continued use of, I mean, is his name Lav? L-A-U-V? I'm sorry. I feel so old.
I think
old.
So.
But the I Like Me Better, which it started in the first movie. And that song is a bop, okay? It is so good. And I'm just like, yes, more. We love a through line.
I associate that song with this movie every time I hear it.
Yes, the identity. It's just pristine. It's so good. It's so good. What else? What's another highlight?
Another highlight, back to prom. We didn't do a great job organizing this. Listen, guys, we're just speaking from the heart. Painfully relatable scene in this movie. Lara Jean is just going through it. She's like, what college should I go to? Should I dump my boyfriend or not? And she's at prom. And her little internal monologue is like, oh my God, like I already miss him and he's still here. And I just, the pain in my heart is unbearable. And like fucking Kavinsky rolls up and he's just like, no thoughts, head empty. Do you like my prom king crown? Like, love music, must dance. And I'm like, you fucking himbo. It just was very relatable. I was like, this is absolutely like the prom thought process of that, like, is the girl and the guy.
Yes, that is really
nailed
funny.
It.
Yes,
nailed
true.
It.
They did. They really did. Also, these movies make me feel like I understand Gen Z a little more. So just thanks to everyone involved. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Like the modern high school experience.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Exactly. I'm like, okay, I think I get it now. And then just two quick things. One, shout out to Sarayu Blue, who is an actress. She plays Trina, the new stepmom. And she is in, actually, you know, I should have recommended this show I'm going to recommend right now for Valentine's Day recommendations. But she plays the love interest of another widowed guy in The Unicorn, starring Walt Goggins.
And my mom watched that.
Okay, that show is actually delightful. And I normally don't like little CBS dramedies, but I've watched it like a couple times. It's just,
wow.
It's very sweet and it's lovely. So I highly recommend that show. She's really good in that too, but she's great as the new stepmom. I don't know. She's very calming presence. She seems very sweet. And then also I'm happy that Lara Jean and also her best friend, whose name I am totally blanking on right now, but
Jen, right?
Jen, yes. But she's friends with, she's friends with Jen. Who's Jen's cousin?
Chris.
Okay, yeah. So I like how they're all friends kind of with Jen again, because, you know, there was so much animosity in the first film. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like, oh, okay, well, I'm glad you guys, you know, sorted things out. And I'm glad that she was supportive of you going to NYU, you know?
Agreed. Yep. They really like tied up all the bows and left it all nice and clean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do some lowlights. Kate, what do you got?
I mean, you could say this about any movie that's coming out right now. So like, I feel kind of bad, but it just hit me at the end of the movie. They are graduating and they say, congrats to the senior graduating class of 2021. And I was like, oh no, this isn't what any senior graduating class looks like this year. It's just a bummer. It's just, you know, one of those weird times where it hits you and it's like, oh, this is like an alternate timeline where COVID never happened. And like, this would never look like this. Their senior year would suck. They would never have to do long distance because they would both be at home. Like, you know, I'm like,
damn.
That trip to Korea would be out. That trip to New York wouldn't be having a wedding, wouldn't be having a prom. Just really hit me. And I was like, fuck. So
damn.
That was dark.
I didn't even like truly fully process that until you just said it. And you're so right. Yeah. And that, it also makes me, I love New York, and that poor city has just been totally decimated. So it's just like,
yeah, great. I mean, it's bittersweet, you know, right? Yeah. Like, we don't want to see a real like COVID story. Like, we want to see this like ridiculous thing, but you know, it is bittersweet.
Yeah. I also felt kind of distracted the whole time because I have this very deep anxiety, and I guess, should we do a spoiler? Should we talk about what happens at the end or no? Whatever you guys want.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Spoiler alert. Stop if you don't want to know what happens at the end. But they do end up together. They break up for a brief period of time. And then true love brings them back together. They're going to do long distance. But the anxiety I felt this entire movie, wondering what was going to happen to these two. And what I really wanted for her, I mean, I give a fuck about Peter Kavinsky's like trajectory, but her as a young woman, I was like, do I want her to dump him and embrace her independent NYU self and like shed, you know, like a teenage love and start experiencing everything as a young woman and single and her independence. But then I love the two of them so deeply together that I was like, no, I want them to be together because it's true love. So I just felt a lot of tumultuous emotions this entire time. Ultimately ended up very happy that they were together. I think I would have been so sad if they broke up. Yeah.
You bring up a really good point because part of me is like, am I a bad feminist for wanting her and Peter to end up together? Because, you know, I fully support being independent, but at the same time, it's like, if you find someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with, why is that a bad thing? Why is that a bad thing?
It's like, I only want him for her, and like, do I never want her to have any other experiences in life and love? Like, no, and that makes me a bad person. But they're meant to be. That's the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. Shakes fist ass guy.
Wow.
What else? What's another low light?
A low light for me is just the continued Subway product placement. Free these movies from the prison that is Big Subway. Literally, fucking Chris gets a promposal from Trevor, who's really hot, by the way, like should not have to be going like above and beyond. She should just say yes. But he gives her like a Subway bouquet of Subway sandwiches. And I'm like, come on. I just can't. I can't with the Subway.
You know
it's
what
so blatant.
Also, free them from Big Subway, as in like the New York Subway, because they glamorize the shit out of that mode of transportation.
They do.
And in general, glamorize a lot of like the New York experience. Like, she looks in like the commuter shoes, and that is like super cute. But the Subway has just like at perfect capacity. Everyone's got room. Everyone's doing something normal and staying quiet, which is like sometimes not an experience you have on the Subway. They go to this rooftop part. They like, I don't know, they do a lot of things that is like fits in the world because it's all glitz and glamour. Mm-hmm. They would never show someone spitting at you as you try to haul a couch onto the Subway, taking up way too much room for themselves. So there are some pros and cons of doing it that way.
That's so true.
Did glamorize a lot. There's this bowling date, which bowling is a smelly and weird date. The shoe smell, the ball smell. Noah Centineo kisses the ball.
Okay, yeah, we can't condone that. Their bowling date looks very fun, though. They have custom shirts, pink shoes, and then they bring pastries and are like crushing pastries on a tablecloth. Yes. Like, if you're going to do a bowling date, it'll look pretty fun.
Agreed.
That is true. I love New York, but I've never had more anxiety than trying to find the right Subway place back to my friend's apartment. Like, I know as a fact that she's seen people multiple times poop on the Subway. So, yeah.
It's part of the experience.
Imagine trying to haul a full-length couch on a Subway and not being spit at by a random stranger. Imagine.
Seriously.
Yeah. What's another lowlight, Amelia?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay. I will continue to stand by the fact that the worst, most annoying teen movie trope is the whole, look at all the top tier schools I applied to and got in. Like, I'm sorry. Have you ever heard of one safety school? It's just like, what the University of Washington is a good school. Why don't you want to like talk about that school? Like, why does it have to be like Stanford and UCLA, mm-hmm. which are again, like, do you know the acceptance rate of those schools? Just exactly. Whatever.
Yeah, we have big problems with Peter Kavinsky going to Stanford, but I guess we can talk about that before we wrap up the category. Okay, MVPs. I think we all kind of agree. It's kind of all the same answer. Lara Jean and mm-hmm. who she is and just what she is. Just fucking fantastic.
She just carries these movies. I mean, the first movie we were all like, oh my God, Peter Kavinsky. Like that was mm-hmm. like the big talking point because I don't know. That's just what the world focused on. But like mm-hmm. three movies in, if we're not talking about how Lana Condor has just carried these movies on her back, her yeah. charisma, her joy. Like, I just don't know what else to say. She's such a little star.
Agree. She is. She's great.
Put her in everything now.
Agreed. I know. If she doesn't have a long and prosperous career and then fucking Noah Centineo is like He-Man, I just throw it all away. Just throw it away. I don't want it. On that note, I wanted to ask, has our opinion of Noah changed? I know it has. But watching this movie, like, could we still get into the Peter Kavinsky of it all? It seems like for both of you, the answer is yes.
Amelia?
Yeah. You know, yeah. As much as like his off the screen antics are debatable, whatever. He's a good actor and this is his role. Like this is his star making role. He's great in this. He's great as Peter Kavinsky. Mm-hmm. And again, their chemistry is just off the charts. So
agreed.
Yeah. He's just so charming.
I would like to think that I'm a smarter woman now than when I watched that first movie, even though it came out like 2 years ago or something, not too long ago. But I agree with both of you. There's just something about the way he portrays this very certain character. And now I've seen a lot of other Noah Centineo Netflix rom-coms. He does it okay, but I think this will be just like a trophy of his career
right.
going forward.
Definitely. Yep.
Anything else to add before we move on? An MVP?
They're just great. Those two.
Great together. Yeah.
Can't beat them.
Okay.
Wonderful.
This we don't normally do on Cringemo. We took this from the Rewatchables, which is where this entire category kind of comes from. This is the Dion Waiters Award. And for those who don't know, it's named for a basketball player prone to, quote, heat checks. Obviously, don't know what that means. And so basically, this award goes to the actor in the film that has very limited screen time, but really went for it and made the most out of those appearances. So I would like to nominate Lucas. Because I thought he actually could have been in a little bit more in the third installment. He's a slightly larger role.
This is the friend, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's one of the boys that she wrote a letter to and then just becomes her best friend throughout the whole thing. He's just great. He's played by an actor named Trezzo Mahoro. And I just also want success in his career for him because mm-hmm. I think he's really, really captivating in every scene he's in. Do you guys have nominations?
I think John Corbett as the dad did what he had to do. He is so charming in limited screen time. He's such a likable dad. He's just like, you know, I mean, it's so hard to be like a cool dad that's also like responsible, that also gives her space. And mm-hmm. I just think he does a great job. He's so likable. Like, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
I want you to be happy, John Corbett. I'm so glad you're getting married and you found new love.
Yeah.
That's how I felt in this movie.
I also like how he has transitioned to the dad role, you know, because mm-hmm. like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but he was like the main love interest in that movie. And, you know, it's like, oh, you're so handsome and suave. And again, like he was in Sex and the City as one of her love interests. And now he's the dad. And I'm just like, yeah. Love that for
still
you.
Looks
next
good.
Chapter.
Yeah.
He still
next
looks
chapter.
Good, just for the record.
And he does still look good.
He does, Kate. We got it. We heard you.
I just wanted to say that. Just wanted to make sure that got out there.
Loud and clear. Okay. Let's do the lightning round before we do the last category. So quickly, what was Peter's X factor on his Stanford application that got him in over Lara Jean? Because it sure as hell wasn't lacrosse. We saw his little plane in the first movie. It was not exactly Stanford worthy. What do you guys think? Kate.
Liz, I like your guess. Go ahead.
Okay. I think perhaps he created an app that we didn't know about yes! and he's a tech savant that we saw off screen. Because can't think of much else besides his pretty privilege and white privilege getting into Stanford. So maybe that plus an app.
I think that's a great guess. Just happening off screen. I love that. I think he must have known someone on the inside. But then like, why wouldn't he help Lara Jean also?
Right.
So that it's not a great strategy.
Right.
Yeah.
What about you, Amelia?
I think it could have been actually lacrosse because, and I knew this guy in college because he dated my roommate, and he could have gone to Harvard because he was so good at playing hockey, but he was a dumbass. So I honestly think it could be sports. And I feel someone once told me like years ago that Stanford was trying to like create more athletes, more star athletes to add to their, I guess, cabal of famous alumni. So it kind of makes sense. I don't know. And yeah, maybe he got better between junior and senior year.
That's true. Lucky.
Maybe, guys, what if his parents did the Olivia Jade thing and like did the fake lacrosse or like the fake crew?
Little varsity thing? Blues action for Peter.
Yeah,
Kaminsky,
like took
maybe.
Pictures of him on a treadmill.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Don't
we cannot
rule it out.
Next one. Did you guys have any cross-country senior trips? Because they unleash a bunch of 17-year-olds in the city of Manhattan. And that seems insane. But I'm curious what you guys think.
The lack of chaperones was concerning. She's at an NYU college party in the dead of night. And no one no one notices or cares.
Yes.
Yeah, my concert choir took a trip to New York in high school, which like is not the type of people that just go out wreak havoc in Manhattan. But yeah, my mom's chaperone, and I'm pretty sure she still has nightmares about like that 12-hour bus trip. Also, like it was a bus trip because we were in Indiana. We weren't in wherever the hell they're in this movie. Mm-hmm. So like they are flying in this movie, and like I would never do that with the high school class.
Right.
Never.
Yeah,
you can't fly.
I think like same thing. Right before my class graduated high school, we could go on like an overnight in Big Bear, which like in the spring, not a lot to do. I did opt out of that trip. I did not have any interest in doing that. What about you, Amelia?
I know I wasn't in band, but I knew some people who were in band, obviously. And I think they went to Disney World, maybe. And like they played like the band thing at Disney World. And then I think there was a trip to Mexico. But, you know, Natalie Holloway's story has continued to haunt my mother like to this day.
Smart.
So there was, there's no way I was ever going to go that.
No, yet. I never would have been allowed to go to Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay, last question from me is, and I'm going to out myself here. Did they depict sisters fighting inaccurately, or did I just scream too much as a teen? Because I actually feel as though I'm alone in this experience, maybe. But they portrayed these Kobe sisters in way too calm a manner. When they fight, they say one remark, and then they walk away. And Kitty fucks with Laura Jean's life in
real legitimate ways. It's so rude.
Life-altering ways. Laura Jean is just like,
straight up,
you, and then that's it.
She straight up didn't tell her she got into NYU.
Yeah.
Like, she's...
She released her diary entries for the entire world to see. That is so personal. And Lara Jean is just like, Kitty. And I'm like, no, I would be literally screaming at the top of my lungs. The older sister fights with her at one point. They text each other an hour later being like, sorry, love you. And I'm like,
That's what gets me is they don't hold the grudges long enough.
It's really like,
if you're not screaming, like whatever, you're just like a different personality. But like forgiving each other immediately is... totally unrealistic.
Out of the question.
Like, you hold that grudge for weeks. Weeks.
Yeah. Amelia, what's your experience like with your sister?
You know, we've always been pretty chill. She's actually way more calmer than I am. So she's good to just, you know, to chill me out. And honestly, you know, thank God she's not as annoying as Kitty Covey. I'm sorry, but that girl is over the top. She's over the top and no one has called her out.
Classic youngest child just does whatever she
like
wants.
Really maybe a psychopath, like concerned about the way that she's manipulating the lives of those that she loves.
Truly.
So true. Lastly, rank these movies best to worst. Kate.
I would say, I mean, I think this is maybe what we all agree on, but I think the first one's still the best. Classic. Mm-hmm. Second one disappointed us. Not as good. Mm-hmm. And then the third one I thought was the second best. So 1, 3, 2.
Agreed.
Yep.
Would be my ranking.
Mm-hmm. But still strongly
recommend. Yeah, I really thought they rallied. They rallied with this movie, you guys.
Agreed.
Thought they really pulled it off.
Agreed.
Everybody go watch it this weekend and let us know your thoughts. Okay, let's do the final category. This is Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Two short ones, one random one for me. But Amelia, you go first.
I guess on the topic of Britney Spears, because, you know, she was trending again, as she always does. Iconic queen. What do you guys think is the best Britney song or what is the most underrated Britney song?
Amelia, can you help me if I tell you a song and if it's underrated or if it's actually properly rated?
Sure.
Is her song Lucky underrated, properly rated, or overrated? Because I think it's underrated, but I'm not also part of the Britney discourse day in, day
out. Well, honestly, I think it, in the beginning, it was kind of underrated, but more and more people have associated it with her story and have been come back to it and been like, wow, she predicted her own story. So it's probably perfectly rated. Yeah, perfectly it is. Rated. It's really good.
Really friend good. Kate, what's underrated for you?
You know, I don't know her underrated songs well enough to know. I know the Britney songs that everyone knows. And that's kind of it. So apologies for that. But my favorite Britney Spears song, which is not underrated at all, is Slave for You.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, that's a good one.
You just can't beat it. I mean, you can. Toxic's also pretty good.
A but sexy choice out of you, Kate. Kind of unexpected saucy for Valentine's Day. I like it.
Oh, thanks. You know me.
Amelia, what about the song I'm Not Yet a Girl, Not Yet a Woman? Oh, underrated? Is that a good choice?
I think that is a good choice. That one, oh, that one makes me sad too.
I don't have my finger on the Britney pulse.
That's okay.
Amelia, Amelia, you do. What are yours?
Well, I would say this is a song called Three, which is like singing about a threesome, and it's actually a banger. It's a bop. Oh. It's so good. Three. Google it, stream it. And I would say, there's one that's, I think it's called Go, and it's on her Femme Fatale album, and that one's really fun too, and I think they used it as promo for a Bravo season of something, so that I'm always associated with that. But yeah, I would say those two are my underrated.
What is her most overrated song in your opinion? What song that like everyone loves are you just like, okay, let's do something else? Wow, she's thinking hard.
The pregnant pause. This is,
I honestly think all of her songs are correctly praised.
Wow.
I do. I really do. I really do.
Wow. What about If You Seek Amy? That song.
Oh, I kind of love that
iconic
song.
Iconic wordplay.
Because Alan and the boys and Alan. Yeah. That's a good song.
A genius before her time. Okay.
That's true.
God, okay. So good. Sorry.
I'm ending with a really random question, but it is Valentine's Day related. Curious,
no, this is a good question.
What you guys think. Why is it that spaghetti is the most commonly associated meal with Valentine's Day, romance, love, and it is the hardest to eat in any kind of romantic setting? Guys,
it's messy.
It's true. Slurping? Is it Lady and the Tramp? Mm-hmm. Is that where it came from? Mm-hmm. Where like one person has one noodle and the other person has the end and...
It's kind of like one of the worst date foods of all time.
Really bad. Uh-huh. Lobster also bad. That's like the other one, right? And you have to like crack it open, put on a bib.
There's
like,
butter
why do we
involved.
Do this?
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
What's like, what's the best food to eat in front of like if you're trying to look normal? Like if you're going on a date with someone new, you have to order something that's like not going to embarrass you. What do you get?
I think you got to do a sushi roll that's small enough where it's a one pop. Chew and swallow because you can't get the big with the tempura flakes and all that avocado on top because then you got to separate into two bites or it's a whole mess. So I would say like a cucumber roll, which is not a meal. Let it be known. Don't eat that for dinner. Or like a slider. I don't know. Amelia, what do you think?
What about like a pasta that has like little, like a, not the long pasta.
Bow tie
pasta.
Like
the ones where you can just take a forkful.
That's a good
like
one.
Like a bow tie.
Mm. That's a good one. You might be a little bloated afterwards, but
that's true.
You know,
that's true.
And you know what also bothers me is like strawberries. They think they're sexy with like dipped in chocolate. That's a huge bite. And it's also hard to eat. Dribbling down your face with the juices.
Yes. And the chocolate like immediately melts when it hits your lips.
Yes.
And then it starts like, you also got chocolate around your mouth.
Right.
I actually really don't love that experience at all.
Exactly.
Wow.
We're experts in love and dating, clearly.
Clearly.
Stay tuned for more tips from Tea Time. Anyway, happy Valentine's Day to you all.
Yes.
Have a great weekend. Stay inside, watch some things on streaming devices. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Kaya, our producer. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Lenmeyer.